Y'all turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9. I'll give everybody a chance to flip there, and then I'll start to lead us in prayer. 1 Corinthians 9. I'm watching while everybody turns to make sure they have time. So you got to have a second to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I know some of you are wondering, what is he going to preach about? We're going to talk about athletics today. We're going to talk about being champions. You know, I like to be a champion. And regardless of whether we win or lose or not, we can still be a champion. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Everybody had a chance to turn there? Okay, let's pray. God, we love you. God, please speak through me today. Give me godly wisdom. As your word says, if I pray, you'll give it to me. Help my words to be true. And God, speak through me. God, I pray that the blessing would be on somebody else today, God, that's here, that needs to hear these words. You're going to speak through me. God, help me not to get any glory from this, because I love glory. But don't give me any, God. Give it to somebody else here. And help somebody else to be glorified, Lord. And thank you so much for this church, Lord, that with our pastor not here, Lord, that we can be led by Mr. Glenn, our elder, that is here, Lord. And thank you for the prayers that he's lifted up for me this week. Lord, and many others, and God, I thank you for their prayers, Lord. I love you. And just help us to have a wonderful time as we worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. I plan on not preaching very long, but y'all better pay attention. Stay awake. I already talked about falling asleep, so got in late for the prom last night, so I told him, you got to stay. I'm telling you, stay awake. Y'all see me throw something that way, or I'm waking him up, so y'all stay awake. I'm going to clap one time. Stay awake now. Okay. How to be a champion for Jesus Christ. How do you be a champion for Jesus? A lot of athletic references today. For those of you that don't like athletics, I'll apologize in advance. But I'm going to talk a lot about my experiences and some of the wonderful ways that some of the wonderful experiences I've had. And as I bring those in, how to be a champion for Jesus Christ. You young people, don't be lazy. If you're going to be a champion, you got to work. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things and ways. And I listed some, Mr. Larry hammers me about pride. And about in our class, we talk about pride a lot. And pride being the root of everything. So I don't want to have any pride today. So I want to make sure that the things I say, I'm not saying to glorify myself. But I'm trying to share with y'all what Jesus Christ has laid on my heart to speak about. So, okay. 1 Corinthians 9:24, and you're going to hear me say this over and over now, how to be a champion. But we're not talking about how to win national championships, state championships, district championships. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how to be a champion for Jesus Christ with using the athletic references. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Run like you want to win the championship. Don't do it halfway. Run like Paul very plainly says, run in such a way to get the prize. He's talking about winning. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just competing. He's talking about winning, how to get the prize. So keep that in mind. Okay, how to be a champion for Jesus. You may say, what in the world does Wesley know about being a champion? You might ask yourself that. That's right. Gobby's asking herself, right, what in the world does he know about being a champion? Don't say that. Y'all, I'm not crying. I just, when I had cancer, the last side effect that has not left me is watery eyes. But what a wonderful blessing it is to remind me to appreciate my health. So y'all just go, bro. Yeah, that's right. I'm not crying. My eyes are just watering. So. Okay, so how am I qualified? I've coached. I know the Van kids call me Coach Carter. That's what they call me now. I've invested time, energy, blood, sweat, tears in coaching my children. And I've played on some teams that were just so wonderful, won some championships. But I tell you, they all consisted of hard work. You're thinking to yourself, I know Reed saying, Daddy, what are you talking about? We're talking about how to be a champion for Jesus Christ. But you still got to work hard. If we are lazy, how are we going to get better for Jesus? So I'm going to talk about some different points, and we're going to keep coming back. How to be a champion for Jesus now. I thought about wearing I have a championship ring, which it means absolutely nothing, that is totally invaluable. But I thought about wearing it, and I thought that'd be a little prideful. So I didn't wear it today. I'm going to keep you lucky you're sitting right here, Mr. Larry, talking about pride. So. Okay, so let's talk about training, okay? Let's talk about training. You know, people that train, people that are great athletes, athletes that win, athletes that are successful, people that win things, they work hard. They train. It is not something that they just, you know, occasionally you see an athlete that is great without having to work at it, but they usually don't go very far.
That's right.
When you see an athlete, you know, probably the greatest basketball player to ever play was Michael Jordan. That he worked at things. He did. He trained. You know, he worked. You know, Tom Brady, well, probably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. He trains. He works hard. He does. You know, these are guys that have won lots of championships. Okay. So training. Obviously, we know. You know me. I love children. How can we not go any further than Proverbs 22:6? I'm gonna read that real quick. Y'all want to turn there? You can turn there with me. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Daniel preached a whole message on that, on training up children. If you're going to be a champion for Jesus Christ, you have got to train. Training is not something that you can do halfway. If you train halfway, you're going to get halfway results.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be a champion going halfway, I'll just tell you. We used to, in football, some of you may know this, some of you may not, but if you train, you know, when you lift weights in football, that's very important, okay? But you can only train the upper part of your body every other day. Your body has to recover. So when you lift weights, you know, you do the bench press and the flies like Flaw does and stuff, and you do those, you have to let your body recover a day. Well, that other day, you train your lower body. You train your legs, okay? And when in football, when you would play a team that did not train, they were easy to beat. They had the upper body, maybe, but they didn't have the legs. And you'd hit one of them, bang, and you'd go, he was soft. You know, because he didn't train. You could say, you know, because they didn't train, okay? Training is something that you do over and over again. It's like reading your Bible, okay? When my wife reads the Bible to our children in the morning, and then I do a very poor job, but we try our best to read the Bible and have a family Bible study at night. We have people in our home, and we train. It's something that we talk about. Jay just walked through a situation where she needed some training. And we had had our family devotion, I trained my daughter how to react to situations in a godly way, how she could have some ammunition, for lack of a better term, on how to deal with some issues she was fixing to deal with. But she needed training. She needed to be taught. As parents, if we're not training our children, teaching them what to do, they're going to fail. So it's very important that we train to be a champion for Jesus Christ. And training requires work. Training requires something that you do. So I asked you today, one of the questions I may ask is, how are you training? How are you training yourself? How are you training your children? Training needs to be something you do every day. Now, so, you know, those athletes that pump the iron, lift the weights, is something they do. They train. They train their bodies. Okay? So as a Christian, we've got to train. We've got to be in God's Word. We got to study it. We've got to meditate on it. Now, is it something that you're going to be perfect at? I'm not. But it's got to be something that you do. You be diligent about it. You train. If you don't train, you will not be successful at being a champion for Jesus. You've got to train. So that's my first point, Mr. Larry.
Point one.
How about that? Okay.
Point one.
Check that. I lost my pencil. I got to check that off. Yes. I may have to come back to it. Okay. Planning. Okay. Good teams have good plans. Okay.
Yep.
All right. In baseball, you may have somebody, when you face another good team in baseball, obviously, you may have to, what we call, pitch around somebody. Somebody that you say, that team is not going to beat me with one or two good players. We're going to pitch around them and make them beat us with the rest of the team. In football, very different. In football, they may have a good running back, and you may put a spy on defense that all he does is follow that good player. Okay? I played in high school with a guy that was incredible. He was an incredible running back. He lives there in Lochwa now still. And when we would play other teams, they would put a spy, and all that guy did was follow him everywhere he went. And he was that good a player. He made that kind of impact, you know. So other teams, we made plans. The teams I played on, the teams I coached, we had plans. We had plans to how to beat another team. That was our plan. Okay. Now, in being a champion for Jesus, you need to have a plan. You don't need to just, you know, if you don't have a plan, when you have a plan to do something, and you've planned out your day, when you've planned out your life, you know, obviously we're going to seek the Lord on everything, but God's going to give you guidance. And when you have this plan, it's important that you follow it. What is your game plan for growing in Jesus Christ, being a champion? Let's talk about some good things, okay? Let's talk about some good things. A good thing to do on having a plan is being in God's house. That's a good thing, okay? Coming to church, being here when the doors are open. Those are good things. You know, we're here on Sunday morning, Sunday nights. We're here on Wednesdays. Have Tuesday night Bible study. Those are good things, okay? That's a good thing to plan to do, to be a part of. You know, have yourself a plan. Are those things good? Yes. But if that's all you're doing, that is not enough. I'm just going to tell you, it's not enough. Just coming to church, just being here, great things. But it is not enough. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You need to be having personal time, just you and God, where you read God's Word, allow Him to speak to you, and you spend time in prayer with God. Just coming to church is not enough. It's good. It's a good thing. It's a good plan to have. But you got to have more. You got to have time that you spend with the Lord, hopefully every day, if possible. If you miss a day, don't get discouraged. Get it the next day. You have a plan. You plan on reading your Bible. You plan on praying. These are things we hear all the time, but maybe in this reference, in this picture that I'm making, you know, it'll help you see that you got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, in my world, you know, I'm in the logging business. Logging is all about failure. Things tearing up, things breaking down, tires blowing out, trucks tearing up, machines tearing up, men not coming to work. It's problem, 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 problem. That's all I deal with. Mr. Harrell, shake your head back there, brother. Am I right? Yeah, it's problem. So you got to have a plan. I heard a man once say one time, if you don't have a plan, you are planning to fail. So you need to have a plan to be a champion for Jesus Christ. Need to have a plan, okay? All right, so your plan to grow closer to the Lord, that's for you to talk to the Lord about, seek the Lord on, and God will show you. I'm not doing good on time, y'all, but I'm trying. I'm not even halfway yet. Okay.
Number three?
Yeah, that's right. Number three, that's right. Okay, coaching. Now, we are so blessed to have some of the coaches we have here. Remember now, I say coaches, but hopefully y'all understand. Parents, explain this reference to your children so they don't call Mr. Glenn Coach Glenn or Coach Daniel. The reference here is our leadership and the training that we get. I played for some great coaches, some men that just invested in me. Golly, it tears me up to think that what I know now, what those men invested in me and the time they took, and golly, they took from their families, which was wrong, but they invested in me. But let me tell y'all something. We got some great coaching here. Some great coaching. Daniel prepares. Mr. Glenn, he prepares. You know, they seek the Lord on things. This is not something they do just to... We're not doing this just for fun, y'all. I mean, this is something, I tell you, we love this piece that's at our church right now, but it has not come at a free cost, I can just tell you. We have sought the Lord on things. We have had to ask for forgiveness for things in the church, and we are in a wonderful time of peace. Satan will persecute us. In time, he will. But right now, we're in a wonderful time of peace, and we have some great coaching. We have some great leadership, and we need to make sure we're thankful for them. And I remember when Mr. Glenn became an elder, you know, he made us promise that we would pray for him. That was one of the things he said that night he accepted being an elder. And I have prayed for Mr. Glenn, and we all need to. As elders in our church, we need to pray for him. We need to lift him up, hold him up. I mean, he has a tough job. He does. I mean, the things these men do for us are just wonderful. We're so blessed to have them. We're so blessed to have good coaches. Remember now, teach your kids about reference. So everybody just got that. Okay. Young people, when you have crossroads in life, when you have questions in life, when you have these things, and not only young people, but older people too, but young people I'm talking to, when you have issues in life, go to your coaches. Obviously, number one, go to your parents, number one. But there are children that don't feel comfortable going to their parents. And if you don't, you go to your coaches. You go to your godly leaders in your church. You go to your elders. You go to godly people in your church that will give you godly counsel and give you godly wisdom. Those are the people we need to go. You need to go to be a champion for Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
Okay. All right. Teammates. Teammates. All right. Now, this is when it gets fun here now. We're talking about teammates. Who are our teammates? I had some wonderful teammates growing up. Some guys that I still keep in touch with today. Just wonderful experience with teammates. When you play football, of course, in baseball it's different. You know, that's the two sports I played, as you can tell. But in baseball, it's about competing against neighboring communities and stuff. But in football, we call it going to battle. You're going to battle. We'll talk about the armor of the Lord in just a minute. We're going to talk about that. But in football, you were going to battle. You were going to, it's contact. It's you're on top of people. You're just collisions over and over again. You're beating your head against somebody. You know, and it's a lot of fun, you know. But in football, you call it going to battle. But I had some wonderful teammates that I went to battle with. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're teammates. We're on the same team. We are. We're on the same team. Let me go back to my notes here. I don't want to get off. Your teammates can make you better. Your teammates can make you better. I guess here you might want to say, as far as our team, you know, Daniel's probably our quarterback, Mr. Glenn's our tailback. I'm just saying as an athletic reference here, you know. And then we're all teammates around them is what we are. We're their supporting cast, you know. Teammates are a wonderful thing. Teammates, as I said, I'm not going to try to list any of my teammates. I had some wonderful ones. But that is the body of Christ. Okay, I've got to do better about my scripture references here. I'm skipping them. So, 1 Corinthians 12:12. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I'll give everybody, I'll see if there's some pages flipping. The body is a unit. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. How are we making people around us better? How are we making our teammates better? How are we making each other better? You know, if you ask yourself that question, you go, how am I making people better around me? How am I making people around me better? Am I holding people up? Am I tearing people down? Am I encouraging? Am I discouraging? Am I helping somebody to improve? Am I distracting? That's only a question you can ask yourself. Are you being a good teammate? A good teammate is when the times get hard, that's when you hold up somebody. You hold your brother and sister in Christ up. Okay? When things get hard. And things get hard can come in many forms. If Brother Bob shared, I was blown away as he shared this morning in Sunday school, you know, about hard times that he's been through. And I was like, wow. You know? And I hope you had brothers and sisters in Christ to hold you up. Because if somebody in our church goes through something like that, we need to hold each other up. It's something that only we can do. I have the gift of encouragement. That's one of the things God's gifted me with. And if I'm not encouraging people, I'm not doing my job. But we all each have a different job. And I'm not going to get into spiritual gifts or anything like that. But we have different jobs. So you need to be diligent about doing your job, being a good teammate, so you can be a champion for Jesus. Okay. I got to keep moving. Discipleship. Discipleship. That is a good way to make people around you better. Now, discipleship can come in many forms. One of the things that I love so much about our team, if we had a name, if we were the Antioch, we could be the Antioch Baptists. our team, I love our team. On Wednesday nights when we get together at prayer time, the groups that we get in are so wonderful. You know, because when you get in your small group, I know the group that Jay prays with is a very special group. These ladies, that it encourages her so much. But that being good team, that's where you can be a good teammate. You can pray for somebody right there and hold them up and encourage them. You know, you can be that teammate. I can tell you, a good teammate is invaluable. They're priceless. They can hold you up. That brother and sister in Christ, somebody that can give you that encouragement when you need it, somebody that you need to be hold you accountable. Those are good teammates. Those are brothers and sisters in Christ that we need to have. That's the brother and sister in Christ that I need to be. You know, I need to be holding up people around me. We need to make each other better. We all have weaknesses. We all have things we struggle with. We need to make each other better. Teammates make each other better. I played with some guys that I hope I made better when I played with them through my encouragement, through my actions. I know there were guys that I played with that made me better. I heard Mr. Dwight say one time he played behind a guy that I'm very close with and I love dearly. And I hope Mr. Hancock made you better, you know, because teammates can make you better. They can. Okay. Now fun. Now this one, I get to talk about some fun stuff. Okay, you got to be in contact shape. Now for you football players, y'all know exactly what contact shape is. When you report for football practice in August, and you're out there running your guts out this hot, you know, I talk about it being fun, you know. When you're out there doing that, and it's tough, and you know, you're puking, and it's tough, it is. But what your coaches are doing is getting you in contact shape. If you can't take the impact of the hits and recover, because you know what happened 30 seconds later? There's another play coming. You got to be ready for the next play. And if you're still worried about the guy that just knocked your air out of your lungs the play before, you got to get ready because there's another play coming. You got to recover. You got to be in good enough contact shape. And I can tell you, that banging, banging, banging after every play, if your body is not in shape, you're going to fail. And the coach is going to say, let's get somebody else in there. So as a Christian, on how we can be a champion for Jesus, you got to be ready for battle. You got to be ready. You got to prepare yourself. When we go out into the world, we're not just going out there just walking around. We got to be out there telling people about Jesus. It's a battle out there, y'all. If we're not getting persecuted and we're not facing somebody going, why are you different? Then you need to rethink your actions and who you are. People should look at you and they should say, you're different. What's different about you? If you're not getting that every day, you need to look inwardly. You know, if you're not different, if you're out there in the world and people don't see you as being different, you know, you need to look inwardly and examine your Christian walk. And you know, are you being a champion for Jesus? People should see something different about you. I'm going to make this, you know, we would play, there were two teams that we played that, golly Moses, they were like, sometimes you'd go to hit one of these guys, it was like hitting a brick wall. These guys, guys we played from Live Oak, the guys we played from Stark. Man, those guys were tough. It was like hitting a brick wall when you hit these guys, you know. In Stark, my senior year, their defense was called the brick wall. That's what they called themselves. It was Gainesville Sun. Okay? And there was a big thing. They had a rest in peace brick wall when we played them, and they beat us. So, but when we played them my junior year, we beat them 2-0 at Santa Fe.
Wow.
2-0 in a football game, not baseball, in football. But Live Oak beat us every year. Those guys were tough. They were tough. They had been prepared by their coach. They were tough. You went against this guy, those guys, you lost. Because they were prepared. They were tough. Let me rein that back in now to a good point here. We've got to be ready for battle. And the way you get ready for battle, God's Word tells us, you got to have on your armor. Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Y'all, when we go into the world, we're going against the devil's schemes. We've got to put on our armor. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now the next verses, I'm not going to get into those, talks about your armor and what the armor is we need to put on. When we go to battle, we've got to put on God's armor. Mm-hmm. He gives it to us right there and shows us what we need to do, the armor we need to put on. Okay, and sacrifice. Any good team that is successful, that wins, they're willing to sacrifice. Now, when I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about the things that we don't like to give up. Now, as a man I work, I have family responsibilities, I have church responsibilities. And probably one of the things that I have to be most, that I need to manage the most is my time. And that is one of the things I like to give up the least. I don't like to give up my time. My time is a precious thing. Let me give you a better answer. My free time is what I don't like to give up. I don't like to give up my free time. I like my free time. I like to, as I tell my wife sometimes, just have nothing to do. That doesn't come very often. Yesterday, I had nothing to do. My family was gone. Law was gone to the prom. I had nothing to do yesterday, and it was nice. I don't get to do that very much. But I had nothing to do. And I prepared my sermon.
Hey, good.
But giving of our free time is hard. There are many opportunities that we miss out on ministry, that I miss out on ministry, you know, with whether it be my band kids or the Awana kids or brothers and sisters in Christ, our teammates. You know, there are many ministry opportunities that we miss out on because we don't like to give up that free time. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. A good athlete is willing to sacrifice for his team, for his teammates. And sometimes that sacrifice is our time. Our time is something we do not like to give up. I do not like to give up. But in order for us to be successful, those are some of the things we've got to give up. I was going to make a big list of those things, but I decided not to for the sake of time. If we want to practice things that are good things to do, the book of James tells us what pure religion is. You know, the things we need to be doing. Let's read that. James 1:27. I didn't mark that one. Y'all want to let me turn there for a second. James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Pretty plain and straightforward there. And my last point, good teams. I played on a good team that this happened to, a great team. And we were brought down, as Larry has told us, by pride. It is something that I definitely struggle with. Pride is the root of a lot of sin that's in our lives. Mr. Larry talks to this about the young men in his Awana class. Gabe talks to this. Gabe's in there. Mr. Wayne's in there. Several other young men are in there. Pride is the root of a lot of sin. Pride can, God's word, is very plain about what pride will do to you in your life. A lot of good teams, a lot of great teams are so prideful. You know, I think about some of the Miami Hurricanes teams over the years, back in the late 80s and the 90s, you know, and they won some championships, but how many could they have won if they weren't so prideful? You know? But I have been on a team that was just, oh my goodness, we had some incredible athletes, just some incredible young men, but they were very, very prideful. And pride brought us down. It did. So we need to make sure as teammates, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that pride is not something that tears us down. I tell you, I've been there. God has had to deal with me on my pride before, and He still does. But pride is one of those things when you go, look what I did. That's pride. That's right. Yep. Look what all this good I've done. I'm so wonderful. And I tell you, it's God. If you have something, it's because God has chosen for you to have that. If we have something, it's only because God has chosen to bless us that way. It's nothing you've done. Can you be a good teammate? Yeah, you can be a good teammate. But don't take glory for something that God has done. Pride will tear us down. We're in a wonderful place in the life of our church. Just a wonderful place. We need to cherish this, but it is because of God and Jesus Christ, and what Jesus did, not anything we've done. Amen. The best thing we can do is be humble ourselves, and do the best we can to follow Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we can stay away from pride, and pride will tear us down if we let it, and we can't let it. So, how can we be a better champion for Jesus? We can be a good teammate. Hold each other up. We can train. Read your Bible. Study. Be at church. Those are good things. Have personal time with the Lord each day. Got to have a plan. You got a plan. How am I going to be a champion for Jesus? We got great coaching. We already got that part. And you got to be in contact shape. You got to put these things into practice so that you can be ready. When you go out into the world, and we go out into the world for battle, and then we got to be willing to sacrifice sometimes, give up those things we don't like to, and we got to steer away from pride. And we got to be humble. Nate, I didn't speak in tongues the whole time. Okay. Before I close, we do the Lord's Supper. Let's go to God in prayer. Y'all, we have a wonderful church. We have wonderful leadership here. God has blessed us tremendously. We need to make sure that we are holding each other up in Christ. I hope everybody understood the athletic references there. I hope it was beneficial to some. I hope it's the word God gave me to speak. So let's pray. Dear God, we love you. Thank you that we can be in your house today. Lord, thank you for how you have blessed us here at this church in such a mighty and powerful way. God, thank you so much for what you're going to do, Lord, in the days ahead, and how you're going to grow us and stretch us, and God, how we can be great champions for Jesus Christ, each one of us in this church, Lord. God, help us to plan. Help us to be willing to sacrifice. God, just thank you so much for all the families represented here today. And God, just grow us, use us in a mighty, powerful way, God. God, as we take a minute here, a couple minutes here, help us to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. God, just help us to look inwardly, God, and ask for forgiveness of sin. Lord, if we have a fault with a brother, we go to them, Lord. And Lord, thank you so much for the example that Jesus Christ set for us. God, help us to examine ourselves, look inwardly. Lord, please reveal sin to us, reveal sin to me and my family. Lord, so we can ask you to forgive us. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much, God, for this time we can worship together as a church family. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.